It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up in Wisconsin Life, we'll talk to a violin maker about the difficulty of crafting such delicate instruments. First, on Wednesday of last week, the Federal Reserve raised the short-term interest rate for the first time since 2006. Analysts were worried the move would have a negative impact on markets around the world and the U.S. economy. And now that it's been a couple of days, we called one of our favorite economic analysts to talk about the impact. Chris Farrell joins us now. He's a senior economics contributor for Marketplace and the host of the Unretirement podcast. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back.
So let's see. Let's start with the term short-term interest rates. What exactly is that and what does it affect?
Okay, so what the Fed has done is raised the target range for the Fed funds rate, which is an overnight lending rate between banks, because banks always need to be sloshing money around. And they've raised it from what has essentially been zero to a target range of a quarter to half a percent. And this is, beginning. You know, you have to use the word tightening in quotes, but it's the beginning of a tightening and a little bit about the reaction of the market. I mean, we've had a lot of volatility, but it's a little bit like Alfred E. Newman, for those listening, you used to remember Mad Magazine, would say, "What? Me worry?" When you look away from all the volatility that's been going on, there hasn't been a huge change in the market.
So when we talk about short-term interest rates, are we talking about car loans, mortgages, that kind of thing?
So the impact on the consumer will really be on where the consumer is going to feel it is on floating rate debt. So if you think about most credit cards are floating rate debt off the prime rate. Prime rate's 3.5%. And in case anyone's wondering, banks are really fast to raise rates. Very slow to lower them. I don't know if you noticed this, but there's a little bit of asymmetry there. So, you might see it if you have like a 10% rate on your credit card, you might see a slightly higher rate on that credit card. If you have a home equity loan that adjusts, you'll see it there. And it will ripple into the auto market. But again, it's not that big an increase. But the expectation is that this is the beginning of a series of increases. And I mentioned, overall, I thought that the market's reaction was contained. There was no major disruption. There was no big credit crunch, all the things that had been feared. But now we're starting into the guessing game. Okay, when's the next time that the Fed is going to raise the rate? What is it going to be looking at? How high will it go? So that will add a measure of uncertainty as we go forward.
Well, there was a long wait for this one since 2006, and it was pretty much the best advertised change in financial business. I mean, did that have anything to do with the smoothness of what we saw? That it was basically marquee news for, weeks, almost months before it happened?
Absolutely. And I think there were a couple things. I mean, if you remember back to last May, when this was sort of first raised by the Fed, and we really had something of a crash in the markets, and there was a lot of concern, and interest rates jumped, and it was way more disruption. And that was sort of a signal to the Fed that it needed to communicate more clearly to Janet Yellen, who's the Fed chairperson. She needed to communicate better with the markets. I also, frankly, I think they got the luck of timing, or perhaps just the wisdom of timing, which is they raised this benchmark interest rate, but offsetting that has been a dramatic fall in the price of oil. Now, there's a concern about does this dramatic fall in the price of oil mean that the global economy is getting weaker, and how weaker will it get? But if you think about it from the point of view of the American consumer, since most of us drive, it's an enormous tax cut to the American consumer. And so even though there are concerns about the longer-term effect of raising rates, right now, the cut from the lower oil prices is probably outweighing the interest rate effect.
We're talking right now with Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for Marketplace and host of the Unretirement podcast. We're talking about the Fed's decision to increase the short-term interest rate. And Chris, we saw that it was pretty smooth out of the gate, at least at markets here in the United States. What about abroad?
So, there's a lot of concern abroad, and the concerns abroad are really touching on with the emerging markets, because the emerging markets, China, Brazil, Russia, the big emerging markets are having a lot of questions, a lot of problems in countries where a lot of their debt is denominated in dollars. So you live in Hungary, but your interest rate was pegged to the U.S. dollar, the value of U.S. dollar, U.S. interest rates. It could have a spillover effect there. So right now, what weighs on everybody is just how weak is the global economy going to get with all the problems in the emerging market. Offsetting that, it's a sad statement to make, but the U.S. economy is basically like one of the strongest economies in the world, and we all know that's not so great, but it is one of the strongest economies in the world. The employment numbers keep getting better, and so this was really interpreted by market participants as a vote of confidence in the strength in the U.S. economy, which is another reason why I think the Fed went ahead and did it, even though there was a very coherent, strong argument why the Fed shouldn't move, and that strong, coherent argument is that we still have too many unemployed people.
And in terms of the way this all happened and what it could mean for the future, you said all eyes are on, is it going to keep going up? Well, it also seemed as though the Fed was sort of soft-pedaling this as a tentative overture, saying almost we're going to try this, but we're willing to put the brakes on. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, I think what it was, vote of confidence, U.S. economy is stronger. Okay, now let's take a little step back. Let's look at the landscape. Let's see how we do in 2016. You did get the federal budget was passed, and that actually is an enormous help. So we're not going into one of these government shutdowns or sequesters or anything like that. So that actually, from the fiscal side, they're getting some help there. And there is really no inflation. So I think what the Fed is doing is going to watch inflation. It's going to watch employment, how the economic growth unfolds. But that, since they got the fiscal policy at least helping out, my expectation is they're going to continue to move. They're going to be very measured about the move because there's no pressure on the inflation front for them to move quickly.
So if we look at this in a certain way, is this in essence good news? I mean, maybe if you think about the economy as a patient who is sick, on life support, doing much better, released from the hospital, and hence, you know, interest rates go up because the economy's looking pretty good overall, pretty strong globally. Is this good news?
I think this is fine news. Yeah, I think I would actually say this is good news. And the good news is just as you said, the economy is getting stronger. Unemployment, there are more and more people are employed. We're seeing that all the time. We are continuing to grow. And higher interest rates are not a bad thing because you get increased demand for credit. But frankly, as I said at the beginning, this is such a small move that using the word tightening monetary policy is a misnomer. I think what it is, it's a shift. It's a shift from the world of zero interest rates, moving what the Fed has got its fingers crossed to is that it's moving toward a world of higher interest rates. And by the way, the Fed has this upper target range of around 3% is what they're talking about. You know, that would be a goal. It's a long way to 3%, and there's a lot of doubt that they're even going to get close to that.
And looking ahead, 2016, just around the corner, what are your predictions about where this is going to go?
So my predictions for what they're worth is Samuel Goldman has supposedly said, you know, never make predictions about the future, but I will make them. I think the economy will continue to grow. I think we're going to show faster growth, I think, because of the effect of monetary policy is going to accelerate some purchases. I think fiscal policy is no longer a tailwind or a headwind against this economy. And the employment rate continues to improve. So I think 2016 might finally be the breakout year that people have been waiting for. Not rip-roaring, but hopefully this 2% annual rate of growth that we've been stuck in jumps up to a 2.5%, hopefully even 3%.
Great. Well, Chris, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor for Marketplace and the host of the Unretirement podcast. He joined us to talk about the impact of last week's announcement that the Federal Reserve is increasing the short-term interest rate and what that means going forward, also looking ahead there at 2016.